There's your 8 o'clock rooster crow and coffee pour. Good morning, Arizona homeowners. You are tuned in to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 27 years. This is the 8 o'clock hour. We now open the broadcast up to all our affiliates across the great state of Arizona, KTAR in Phoenix, KNST in Tucson, Chasm in Sedona, KQNA in Prescott, CAF in Flagstaff, and KGVY in Green Valley. And that's the order each one picked us up. Over the last, I guess it was 04 was the first time we added a second station. And since then, have six great affiliates across the state. And we are in the Outdoor Living Hour. And I tell you what, John, on Talking Trees, you've had us on a ridgeline at Granite Mountain next to the champion juniper tree. You've had the record peeling time of a... pomegranate fruit live in studio on action. You've had us in Queen Creek at Boyce Thompson Arboretum for a tree climbing contest. You've had us at NAU campus for a tree climbing contest. And now we're in. Am I missing anything?
That's all that I can remember, too. But this is going to be, I think, in the top of them all. This is a beautiful day outdoors at the Arizona State University campus. And we are touring 11 awesome trees that are scattered around campus. This is part of the...
Now, scattered around, but pretty well contained. You're in about a maybe a half a mile...
Right. Well, the ASU Tempe campus hosts an arboretum, and it's a large tree tour that features dozens of trees, and it takes you far and wide, all the way around this multi-acre campus. But today is a tour to trees that's sponsored by the Arizona State Land Department, Arizona Community Tree Council, and several other agencies, including Arizona Nursery Association. And it's featuring only 11 of the trees. And they're kind of concentrated, clustered together, so that it's you're not having to walk quite so far. I walked it this morning in about 20, 30 minutes. You can do it really quick if you'd like to, but if you want to pause at each one, it's a really cool tour because at several of the trees, they have certified arborists standing by with information sheets that tell you about the trees. If you'd want to buy one, possibly, it gives you a lot of the specs and the characteristics of the tree. And also just they can give you some general information about those trees. But a beautiful day today to see some trees. If you're anywhere close by and want to get out and take a little walk, if you're planning some exercise anyway, what a great way to get that and also get a little education on some really great trees.
And we're standing right now at tree number 3 on the tour. You don't have to start at 1. You don't have to end at 11. You can just navigate it, but they've got it numbered so you can figure out where on the map you are at any given time. We're at tree number 3, which is a white...
Sapote. Yes, this it's amazing because I saw this tree 37 years ago when I was on a tree tour here at the Arboretum. I graduated from ASU in 1979, 37 years ago. It's a long time ago. The campus has hardly changed. This is one tree on the tour that is actually a little bit difficult to find. You have to go through a secret little passageway.
Which was really cool. I thought you were nuts when
I know.
I was like, I remember. You must be going on a detour.
I knew it's inside here. This little quadrant, which features a bunch of jacarandas and some orchids. And here on the north side of the little quadrant is this large 25-30 foot white sapote. White sapote is a fruit tree, but it's a tropical fruit tree that can grow here. It can grow anywhere where you can grow citrus. It has the same kind of qualities in terms of its frost tenderness, but it is a really great tree. It has these fruits about the size of a small apple, and they are beautiful. You know, here in Arizona, we have this ability to plant tropicals if you give them a protected environment. You can plant papayas, you can plant guavas, loquats, these white sapote, and a handful of other exotic kind of tropical trees that are just really wonderful for Arizona. There's even a variety of avocado that grow well here as well. So this is the only tropical I think that's on the tour, but wow, this is a really great example of one. There's lots of fruit on it right now. It's a little green. It'll ripen up later this summer. But it's beautiful.
And the leaves and the bark look nothing like when you say citrus, I think orange. I think grapefruit. I think
lemon. Right.
This looks nothing like either one of those.
No, it's a tropical. This is more like a papaya. It's got some large green waxy leaves and larger than citrus. But yeah, this is a great spot for it in this little protected environment. Gets no late afternoon sun. That's sort of a key to success with tropicals is keep them protected from the wind. If you can get them up tight to a building and definitely protected from the late afternoon sun, you'll generally have some good success with these trees.
And we are officially in April. So what's on our talking trees for April? What in the garden? It's we've been talking all spring long that it's been an early spring. Should we just jump straight to May's talking points?
No, this is prime time for doing all sorts of planting and pruning. Speaking of pruning, there is a few seats left in my pruning class I'm teaching tomorrow at the Desert Botanical Garden between 2 and 5 o'clock. We just had 70 people showed up at my pruning class yesterday for the city of Scottsdale. It was just a great outdoor class. All my classes are hands-on kind of demonstrations, so you get not only a great introduction to pruning, but I really want people to have pruners in their hands and kind of get understand the concepts of how to make a good thinning cut, a good crown reduction cut, understanding the basic pruning types, the two worst pruning mistakes you can make. And it's a three-hour workshop tomorrow, really reasonable cost, about $40, I think the Desert Botanical Garden charges. And there's several seats left available for tomorrow's class. Just get online, dbg.org, if you would like to attend that class. So that was a little sideline regarding April and the pruning and planting that can be done this time of year.
And that's one thing that's really easy to over-assume you know what you're doing. I mean, how hard is it to get a clipper and a saw and go whack a couple limbs off? But the more I listen, watch, and hear you talk about pruning, the more I realize it's a science. You really have to know what you're doing, and you can easily hurt the tree, and you've got your lion tailing, you've got your
topping cuts.
Mentioned, I think the last time you were on the air, imagine going and doing a huge prune cut. That's like suddenly chopping breakfast out of your daily routine.
Right, the live branches on a tree are providing through photosynthesis the sugars and starches the tree needs to survive and to be healthy.
Which is funny because it's easy to think, well, if I cut these branches off, the rest of the tree is going to do so much better because it has to feed less.
Right. Well, actually, those branches are actually providing the energy reserves to help the tree to put on new growth, to defend against disease and insects and other stresses, and also to for reproduction for flowers and fruit. So yeah, pruning is a blend of an art and a science, and I've always told my students over the years to concentrate on the science, get the science right, and the art will take care of itself. Don't go out into the yard with an aesthetic objective on, I want the tree to look like this. It'd be better to go take a step back and realize that you need to be able to justify every cut, have a clear objective in mind when you're going to do your work, and then from there, select the different types of pruning to accomplish that objective. And we cover that in our classes, and love to have some folks come on out and fill out that class tomorrow. Be great.
And again, that's Desert Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, dbg.org. And you can go to the adult classes there and find a registration form.
Okay, it's Rosie on the house. We're on a live broadcast. I'm going to hand my phone over to John while I switch batteries to our unit. And if you'd like to ask John a question, you can call in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie for you. And John, take it away. You've got about 2 minutes left here to wrap up what's important on April, and I'll get our battery switched out.
Well, April is, as I said, a great time for pruning and planting. We've also got to have a heads up regarding insects. We are pruning a lot for caterpillars on your tachomas, on your bougainvillea. We're always looking for silage on your coscolotes, as well as spider mites on your cypress and other trees. We are always aware of the as trees start to put on new foliage in the spring, it's the advent of a lot of insect activity. So let us know if we can help in any way along those lines. We're beautiful time of year to be putting plants in as well, planting your trees and shrubs and getting out in the garden before it gets too hot. if you do some planting or some pruning and plan to do a little bit of heavier pruning on your shrubs, you want to kind of ease off on that heavier pruning toward the end of April. As the hot weather approaches, you don't want the trees to be completely bare of foliage because you've made some heavier pruning cuts. That juvenile growth that's emerging after the pruning is a little bit sensitive and can be burned by the sun. So you want to just be lighten your pruning as the temperatures increase, you know, reduce the percentage of foliage that you're taking out of your trees as we head into summer. And then you can increase that pruning a little bit more as we temperatures drop again in September, October. We are broadcasting live from ASU campus. We're on the tour to trees. And we've got a sitting here in front of a white sapote, and we're going to be moving to a mesquite tree and a huge cork oak tree on the north side of campus. I'm giving the phone back to Romy.